Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, welcome, welcome once again. I'm your host, Minister Joel Lewis, and you're listening to Free on the Inside Ministry, a weekly podcast to inform you, to encourage you, and to challenge you to be all about what God put to your hands to do. I am so glad and pleased to be with you this morning. You know, and I don't take that lightly because, you know, every day is a gift. Every day is a blessing. You know, if you listen to this program any length of time, you know, we talk about spiritual things, you know, things that are above and not things that are beneath. We know God told us that we're the head and not the tail, that we're above our situation and not our situation is above. I encourage you today, regardless of what's going on in your life, turn it over to God. I am pleased to be with you once again. You know, it's been a drought season in my life, but not so much as a drought not knowing what God's doing, but a drought of just doing the things that God had for me to do. Because at one time, we couldn't get out and do the things that God had us to do. That's a drought. You know, I feel like the prophet that said that it's like fire shut up in my bone when I can't do the things that God put to my hands to do. You know the one I'm talking about, Jeremiah, the one that said that God knows the plans he have for you, you know, to prosper you and to do you no harm and to bring about an expected end. I know what my end result is to have a relationship with our Lord and Savior. I'll be overjoyed and jumping with joy when he said, well done, my good and faithful servant. You know, how do you get to know that? Because you have to know his voice. You have to know the one that calls you from darkness into a marvelous light. You know, I just want to encourage you this morning. I want to encourage you that God is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. I am excited this morning because we're getting ready to do our street ministry. We'll start that up again. God has made a way where we can get with men and women that have a passion and desire to go out and take care of the needs and tend to the needs and minister to the needs and just listen to the needs of his people. Sometimes, you know, ministry is just listening. You ain't always got to be active. Brother, just tell me what's going on. Let me hear your complaint and your petition. And maybe at the end of your conversation or our conversation, we can go before God and say, God, won't you intervene on my brother's behalf? Won't you intervene on my sister's behalf? God, won't you enter my life and do some things that I need done in my life? Guess what? We all need help. We all need a Savior. You know, just because I'm here and doing this and you doing what you're doing, that don't mean that we don't need God in our life. That don't mean that God has forgot about us. That don't mean that we devalue God. But we lift him up and we honor him. You know, I do a online ministry each and every week, and one message I done last week where Jesus said, for the hour had came for the Son of Man to be glorified. I got to think it in my life and your life. There ought to be a time when God is being glorified in our life. When people don't see us as being that same person that we was, that same person that we grew up to be, and they see us being a new creation in Christ Jesus. You know, it's time for the Son of Man to be glorified in our life. Now think about that for a minute. How can God be glorified in your life? How can Jesus be glorified in your life as you go to the stores and as you go to work and as you interact with family and doing family activities or whatever it may be? Can God get the glory? You know, I recall some time ago when I used to go to football games. I don't go to them anymore because it's more convenient watching them at home on TV, you know. But when I used to go to football games, there always was someone in the section that I'm sitting in. And even on TV, let's take it into this on TV in the end zone. When they get ready to kick an extra point or kick a field goal, you would always see this sign say, John 3:16. Always reminding me that God loved me. You know, that person brought that in, the encouraging stadium, but he was also encouraging me also. It was God that was encouraging me. Even though I was doing my own thing, I had my little Kool-Aid and my little smokes or whatever it may have been, because I wasn't thinking about God. Let's admit it. I ain't always been where I am today. I bet you hadn't either. I bet you could remember a lot sooner than I can where God had brought you from. But I remember sitting up there watching the football game, not thinking about God. But yet, God was thinking about me. And he sent me a little old big message over the TV before the internet was popular. He sent a little message that said, but God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Oh, and you know what? That resonated in my heart. I think so much about how God loved me in spite of myself, in spite of all the things that I had done to try to mess this thing up. He still called me and said, come just the way you are. But I'm not going to leave you like that. I'm going to bring about an expected end, and that end is to glorify God. That end is to show that God right dwells richly in your life. That is to let the world know that God lives in you. And for Christ, you should live, and for Christ, you should die. That's what you should be doing. You know, giving everything to God. Don't just talk about it. Be about it. I could wear the chains and the ornaments to show that I'm a Christian. But if I don't live that life and I don't act that like a Christian, those chains and ornaments don't do me no good. How often have we seen someone with a big old ornament that's around their neck or an envelope that's on their finger or on their wrist? It catches your attention because it's so beautiful. And it looks so marvelous. But yet you get to know that person. And you say, oh my God, I did not think that they was like that. It blows my mind. That's why a lot of people don't want to go to church. Let's face it. Some people go to church and sisters invite them in and brothers invite them in. And they get there, they don't want to talk to them. Or they put them on the back burner. Or they huddle up in their own little section over there. And the one that they invited, they have nothing to do with it. The person come to church, you feel lonely. I know, I'm speaking from experience. When people used to invite me to church, I would go to church there and I'd sit there in that little section. Wouldn't nobody come and greet me. Wouldn't nobody even make eye contact with me. It was like, hey, if I talk to him, he going to want something. If I talk to him, he going to burden me down with a lot of stuff. And I don't want to do that right now, you know. And that ain't the way it ought to be. I think, as I was saying last week, when Jesus was going to the temple, it was the Passover weekend. You know, and his time was near. He had been to the temple many other times, but this was a time that he was going to be sacrificed. He became that sacrificial lamb. They taking away the sins of the world. They said it while he was in the temple. You know that same temple that he turned over the table of the money changers, you know, and that same temple that he had rode into in Jerusalem, and he had rode in on the back of a donkey as his disciples went and got him a donkey that had never been ridden, and he rode in, and the people threw palm leaves in front of him. That same week, it was a lot of things going on. But they said in this particular strip in the book of John, the 20th chapter, and it said that some of the Gentile that was at the temple, remember the temple had several layers. It had a court of the Gentiles. It had the women's court. It had the chamber, the bath chamber. It had the Nazarite chamber. You know, the temple had a lot of different factions and functions, but it invited everyone in, but everyone didn't have that same rights or those same privileges. Think about it. Everyone was invited into the temple, but they could only go so far. They could only do so much. In our life there, you know, sin will let you go so far and do so much. People, this Christianity will let you do so much and go so far, but God said that you are free on the inside. Oh, I love it, I love it, I love it. You're being set free. But they said that Jesus was in the temple, and some of the Gentiles saw him talking to other Gentiles. Can you imagine? And some of the people, they told, they said they would have told a couple of Jesus' disciples, Andrew and Philip, they said, hey, now, you know, this is the same two that were with John the Baptist, but now John is gone, John is dead. So now Jesus called them to be his disciples. And they went and they saw two of Jesus' disciples, and they said, hey, tell Jesus we want to talk to him. Can you imagine when Jesus was talking to the Gentiles in the temple, what he was saying? He may have been telling them the same thing he told the lady at the Samaritan woman at the well. You know, he said, wait a minute, it's going to be a time where you're not going to be separated. It's going to be a time where you're going to have the full rights and privileges to go before an all-knowing, all-powerful God. And then Jesus, he told his disciples, hey, the time have came for the Son of Man to be glorified. I got to think it in my life, in your life, I'm repeating it again. It's time for the Son of God to be glorified in your life. Regardless of what's going on in your life, the bills may be crushing you, but God's going to be glorified. You may be laid off from a job, but God's going to be glorified. You may be racking with pain in your body, but God will be glorified. It's time for God to be glorified in his life. And I think about, as Jesus was talking about, and he went on and said that, you know, talking about his death on the cross, how it would break down the veil in the temple, and that way everyone can go into the presence of God. Remember, the temple was set up structure. It had an inner court and an outer court. It then had the Holy of Holy. It's where the tabernacle was. was in the grail was and the priest did the sacrificial offering unto God. He said, all that's going to be torn down. And check this out. I'm going to talk about what we talked about last week on our message. It was a sign over the doorpost that was separating the temple from the inner court and outer court. That sign said, if any man from another country would enter into this holy place, they have no one but themselves to blame for them death. You know, no one but themselves to blame for that. That sound like the devil. The devil said, hey, I didn't make you go out and do that. I didn't make you spend up your money. It was you. You have nobody to blame but yourself. I didn't make you leave home. You have nobody to blame but yourself. But glory be to God that at the temple of Baal was rent, that sign came down also. Amen. Because, you know, we've been saved by grace and not by works. At least any of us can boast. I'm excited about what God is doing in our life. I'm talking about the life of his people, the life of the ministry. And I stated earlier, we're going out today and we're going to be ministering with another group of men and women. And you know, I love that because I don't do anything by myself. You may hear my voice. You may see me on your Facebook or hear me on Blog Talk. But I'm always with other like-minded men and women that wants to do things because I draw strength off of them. I'm being encouraged by them. And, you know, and as we get ready to do our ministry today, there's a young man there. And I say young, age is relevant number. I always say people are young. But this young man is 76 years old. He had a birthday this past Monday. And me and him has been doing ministry. That's why I met him one of the ministries about many years ago, long before the pandemic, you know. And here he is up in, you know, his mobility is not as good as it used to be. His voice is not as strong as it has. But we still stay in contact, and we study, and we pray together. And he called me up, and he said, we're going to the ministry? And I said, yeah. He said, come and get me. And, you know, his voice is real low and light, and I could understand what he said. He said, come and get me. I'll be ready tomorrow. I said, okay, I'm going to leave about 8:30 or so. I'll be ready. And I got to thinking, even at his age, even with his health issue, even with things that's going on in his life, he still wants God to be glorified in his life. He's 76 years old. He could say, man, my work is done. I'm going to kick back and relax. But yet, he still glorified God. Oh, that's telling you and me, regardless of what state that we find ourselves in, that we can glorify God. Amen. And I got to think of this young man, you know, as he said he will come on out and get him. You know, other people will see his enthusiasm, see his willingness, and see his desire, and they'll be wanting to be a part of what he's doing because he's uttering and pleasing God. And I love these type of ministries because we see how men and women's lives are being changed. I encounter people at various times that come down there with no shoes, only, you know, no feet. I'm talking about no shoe. Literally, they have no shoe. They got the top of a shoe, it looks like, but the bottom is, it got holes in it. I said, one young man came to me one time, giving out some shoes, and he said, hey, I need a pair of shoes. I looked down at his feet. I said, those look pretty good. And he had his feet up, and the bottom of them was coming loose and stuff. I said, oh, my God. Like, you know, was able to give him some shoes. I thank God for that. But then another instance, I seen that same young man had on a pair of work boots, had on some dirty blue jeans, had on a safety jacket, the loud, bright color. And he said, man, I'm working now. You know, and I thank God that I can still come down here and be myself, that I don't have to dress up or pretend, and that God is still in my life. I'm still not doing the things that I know that I need to do, but I know that God is with me, and he's going to straighten me out eventually. And I said, you're on the right track, but you know, remember now, you got something to do with it too. You can't just keep making these mistakes and look for God to straighten you out. Amen. It's like that signpost over there. You have no one to blame but yourself. God didn't do it. No one to blame but yourself. God didn't put that thing in front of you that you like and you craving. Because see, that thing, those things are just going to happen. You know, just like a red light. Red light's on various corners. You can't be mad because that red light there and you ran that light. You know, you have no one to blame but yourself. And I like those kind of testimonies. Can I hear women that, and men, women and men come up and give us a testimony about how good God been to them. We don't have a guest this morning. I thought I had a guest, but he was unable to show up at this time. But the invitation is still open. Our guest will still be able to come onto this Blog Talk program and give you his take and what God is doing in his life and the life of the ministry or whatever God put to his hands to do. But our call-in number, I want you to write this number down, because I'm not accepting any phone calls this morning, because I'm going to cut the show short about it in another 15 minutes or so. But I do want you to write this number down. That number would be 563-999-3596. That's our call-in number. Again, that number is 563-999-3596. You too can call in and voice your opinion regarding the show and what God is doing in his life. And I want you to know that as God has manifested his power in your life and life of the believer, that you too can make a difference in someone's life. Occasionally and always, you would hear me say it. I say that always and occasionally, you would always, that I would say that help change a life. Oh, I think that because Jesus, he helped change, like when he was in the temple, people saw him, it changed their lives. Amen. When the disciples saw how good God was to the various people with sins and how he was able to control the elements, the wind and the waves, and how he raised Lazarus from the dead, it changed their life. Don't take this thing for granted. What the blessing that you have, it changed your life. But when you got that job, when you wasn't educated, it changed your life. It changed your perspective of what God is doing in your life. And so don't get this thing twisted, amen. And you know, I thank God for all the blessings that he give us, those little bitty blessings there, just breath and another day and just the movement of my body. And also the things that I put to my hands to do. I bet you can relate to that too. Sometimes God do some things that it blows your body. And then sometimes you don't want to tell nobody because you say, well, I don't even know it. You're like, I got ready to do some, we had to have this lot to where we're going to do our ministry at. And it's a big lot. It's the size of a house. And, you know, it's a nice size. It's a lot for a house. And the grass had grown up, man, about 2 feet tall because of the rain that we had. And I grabbed a little lawnmower. And I went around. I looked for someone to cut it a week prior to me going down there. So, but it needs to be cut, so I grabbed my little lawnmower. And the gentleman I was telling you about, he wanted to come with me too. He's 76 years old. He can't do anything. I wouldn't let him do anything, but he grabbed his little lawn chair and been here. We got some ice water, some Gatorade, and I got to cool it. I filled it up and went over to, going over there to pick him up. And across the street from him was a guy that was doing yard work. He had the truck, he had the big tractor, and he had all the stuff. He was dropping off a couple of his crewmen in this apartment. And I saw him and I said, hey, you know, you do some yard work. I got a place that I need to have cut. And let me have your number and I'll call you up next time. He said, okay, I'll do that. I asked him, I said, what part of town you cut it in? And he's telling me, I cut all over. I just came from South Dallas and I'm on my way back. I said, hey, the place that I need cut is in South Dallas. And I gave him the location. He said, I know that place. He said, I can go and do it right now if you want me to. I said, you don't mind? He said, no. He went over there, man. He went over there. He cut that grass in about 45 minutes or so with his riding lawnmower. He had an industrial weed cutter, a lawnmower, rather, tractor, industrial tractor. He had a one guy with him that he was going to drop off at his South Dallas. And they went on and cut the grass at a reasonable price because thank God for having the resources to pay people to do what they do. You know, because I'm not trying to take nothing for granted. Hey, man, this is for a ministry. We ought to do it unto God. No, no, no. God isn't pleased with that because you pay that man what he's owed. And he did that. And I got to thank God. He saw our desire to get out there in the heat, get out there with the resources we have, and he blessed us. And the man said, hey, I'll be over here to cut it for you. Every time you give me a call, here's my number, and I cut it for you. And he did a great job on it. Something like that, I don't like telling anybody, but I'm going to tell you because you're my friend, you know, so those kind of blessings, and I bet you have blessings like that too, when you're seeking something, and you have a desire to do something for the kingdom, and God opened doors. I know men and women that do a ministry, and they share with me the resources that God has blessed them. They go out to buy stuff for the ministry, and people see what they're doing, and they say, let me be a part of what you're doing. I would never see your ministry at work, but I want to support what you're doing because you're doing a good thing, and they'll pour into that ministry whether it's some hygiene kits, or whether it's food, or whether it's gloves for the winter, or socks, or whatever it may be. And that's how God works. He works through the hands of his people. Amen. Remember that when Jesus was feeding the multitude, prior to feeding the multitude, it was 5,000 men and some women and kids, and the eating was drawing near. And the disciples said, let's send them back to their homes so they can get something to eat. And Jesus said, no, because they might not come back. They might forget what God is doing. Because God is doing a new thing. God is doing a thing to let you know there's time for the Son of Man to be glorified. And he, little kid was around there. And I could imagine the kid probably was following the disciples around and want to hang out with Jesus. And he had a little fishy loaf. And Jesus said, what do you have to offer them? And the little kid probably stood behind one of the disciples. I bet it was Peter. He stood behind him and said, here, I got a little lunch right here. And the people looked at him, man, this little lunch, what are we going to do with some fish and some loaves? This won't even feed me. And Jesus said, hey, Jesus took it. And he prayed on it. And he told everybody, he said, y'all all sit down. And I want you to disperse the food out. And guess what? And it fed them 5,000. Plus the women and kids. And they counted what they had to offer. I encourage you today, when God puts your hands in your heart to do, go out and do it. You may not have the resources, but God can bless you. I'm a living witness of that. How God bless me. I'm going out to cut this grass in the heat of the day. I got a little old bitty lawnmower. I'm going to go out there and do the best I can. People to stop me and say, man, you foolish, man. You're going to cut that whole thing by yourself. But God said, no, you're not going to cut it by yourself. I'm going to dispatch an angel in the form of a yard man with all the equipment and resources, and he's going to take care of it. But I do want you to take care of him also. And I thank God that we had the resources, and the man was content with what we had. I think so much Jesus told this parable about this land owner that had a field, and it was harvest time, and he went into town, and he got some workers early that morning at the 6 o'clock hour at the break of dawn, and he sent them out in the field, and he said, I'll pay you a day's wages. And then later on, 2 hours later, he went back to town, and he got some more men, and he said, I'll pay you what's fair. Then a couple hours later, 6, 9, and 12, he went and got some more men, and he made the same statement to them. 2 o'clock hour came around, and it still was a lot of work to do, so he went and hired some more at the 2 o'clock hour. And then, right before dusk, he goes to get some more men. At the last hour, they only could work an hour, maybe an hour and a half before the sundown, and he went and got some more. And then after the work was finished and the work for that day was finished, he said, because they were paying them on a day-to-day basis, like day labor, they were paying them then. Because Jesus said it's only fair to pay a person that day with no promise of you're going to pay them a whole lot and run around and hide and whatever it may be. And he said, hey, he got the farmer together, and that pay the one that showed up first, and the one that had been here, just pay for the last one I hired, and just go down the line there, and then let the first be last, and let the last be first. That's the story right there. Regardless of what we find ourselves in the kingdom, God can still use you. And I was saying about this young man, that's 76 years old, and he still wants to do ministry. Let the last be first, and the first be last. Amen. You know, and so. And, you know, this man, he may have came into his walk of life later in life, but he's committed. I don't know if he did. We never really got to that point there, but I got to thinking that even at his age that he can sit down, but he still wants to get out and let God be glorified in his life. And they said that people was grumbling, going back to the landowner that had the crop that needed to be brought in. The landowner after he did those same people come up, they started complaining. Now, wait a minute, why you don't get these people the same thing that you gave, that you promised me? And they only been here a short time, and I've been here all day in the heat of the sun. And the landowner said, wait a minute, am I not fair? I promised you a certain amount of money, you agreed to it, and all the rest you agreed to what I was going to pay. Can I do what I want without my money? I got to think it in God. And I lie. You know, sometimes we don't understand what God is doing. But can God be God in our life?
can we understand what he's doing? Can we accept what he's doing? You know, you may have came in this bulk of life later in life, and God may be trying to do some things in your life, and you may be going against the current in people's lives and saying, well, you know, you need to sit down. We done already done this before. This has been done, blah, blah, blah. And you got to have a made-up man that said, for Christ I live and for Christ I die. And just do the things that God has for you to do. I want to thank you for allowing me to share with you this morning on our Blog Talk program. I'm here every Saturday morning from 8 to 9, but this morning we cut it short here because we have some ministry to work to do. We thank God for this opportunity. We're going to be meeting with a group of other men and women's ministries called Super Soul Ministry, where we'll be out ministering to the needs of God's people. But again, thank you for listening to me. Please, please, please tune in to us again and see what God is up to in the life of his people. Gracious Heavenly Father, thank you, dear Lord. Thank you once again for your grace and your mercy. Thank you, dear Lord, how you kept us hedged in from danger seen and unseen. We're talking about the coronavirus, talking about financial woe, talking about unemployment, all those things, dear Lord. You kept us safe and peace. Dear Lord, sometimes people say this is the worst of time, Lord, but I beg to differ, this is the best of time because it lets you be glorified in our life, dear Lord. You got men and women doing things that they had never done before. You got men and women, they're stepping out on your word, dear Lord. Let the Son of God be glorified. Precious Lord, our God, we pray for the ministry today. We pray for the men and women that's volunteering. We pray for all to be done well, decent, and order. We pray that the food be satisfactory and be a nourishment to the men and women, and that your word continue to feed the sin-sick soul. We pray for demonic spirits to be broken in the name of Jesus, for demonic spirits to be cast back to the pits of hell and the doors locked for eternity, dear Lord. We pray that men have a testimony of how good God is, that women be a witness of how good God is, and that the neighborhood be blessed knowing that God is ever present. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might till we get together again on this Blog Talk Radio. You're listening to Free on the Inside, your host, Minister Joel Lewis. Amen. God bless you.